Hello and welcome to the Damn Fine Life podcast with Rinku Madan. I'm Gaurav Kapoor and I'm here to introduce this show, which is a unique and exclusive take on luxury hospitality from across the globe. Now, I am fascinated by luxury hospitality just as much as you are, which is why I'm super excited about this show. Because it's not just about the business of hospitality, but it's also about stories, journeys, histories, insights, a peek behind the curtain, if you may, from the world of luxury hospitality. So let's dive straight in.
Powered by Soneva Resorts and Residences, Marchese di Barolo Wines, and the Leela Palaces, Hotels and Resorts. Brought to you by Dan Hotels Israel, Chalet Hotels Limited, Hotel Kempinski Indonesia, Fratelli Wines, and TAF Reverse Your Fat. In partnership with our season partners, Postcard Hotels, a collection of intimate and bespoke luxury hotels hidden in holiday destinations across India and the world. The Postcard Hotels combine luxury with simplicity, helping you retreat to a life that is luxurious, simple, unhurried, and filled with rich discoveries. Easy Diner, the one-stop platform for the most enjoyable, authentic, and friction-free table booking experience. Instant confirmations and amazing deals on food and beverage in over 150 cities in India and now in Dubai too. JetHQ, the world's most trusted aircraft sales with deep industry knowledge, real-time data, and market analysis by dedicated professionals. An aircraft brokerage company with headquarters in the United States, JetHQ's experience and international expertise allow them to serve you 24/7 across the globe in almost every time zone. A one-stop solution for sale and purchase of pre-owned aircrafts. My guest this week is an extremely proficient and humble hotelier who has made his mark in the field of sustainable luxury. His properties are larger than life, oozing luxury from every inch. The locations he chooses are offbeat and tranquil, from having properties at the magnificent UNESCO heritage site of Hampi to the jungles of Kabini to the Kromfi plantations of Coorg, etc., etc. Each property is a masterpiece like no other. Owner, Executive Director, Evolveback Orange County Resorts and Hotels Limited, Mr. Cherian Ramapuram, has created this brand as a family-owned business with his brothers. I had the good fortune of visiting one of their properties, the Orange County Hampi, and the experience still lingers on. So please welcome Mr. Cherian Ramapuram.
Thank you, Rinku.
So, Mr. Ramapuram, you have created a phenomenon for many reasons. One is that you have created a brand, Evolveback Orange County, which has only bespoke properties, and you have created them one more magnificent than the other. So, what is your secret?
When we look at a location, we look at something, a place where no one has been. You go to any location, it's got to be a remote location, difficult to reach. In Kabini, we have totally 5 properties. There's no more property. Government doesn't permit any more properties there. And Kabini, we are the only ones on the other side of the river. And it's a little bit difficult to reach there than to the other properties. So we go to a little back of beyond kind of locations. And we take the essence out of that place and build the property. Actually, the opulence that you're speaking of is, I think, the rarity that you see there.
Okay, what does that mean?
We choose our materials, everything is so local and subtle. We don't put that opulence in the front, you know. That we use cottons, we use non-plastics, a lot of wood, we use cement. Our Kabini floors, pure cement floors, no marbles, no Italian marbles, no shiny brass. It's all earth. Everything will be earth. You know, you have the real original thatch, the coconut thatch in Kabini, the grass thatch in Coorg, along with, of course, the Mangalore tiles, which is a very local material people use there. And of course, in Hampi, it's got to have that bit of opulence. Understated, it's very different from the North Indian palaces. The Southern Indian palaces are very subtle, very, you know, understated kind of. There will be no gold, no purple. It will be all white and subtle pastel colors.
It was as subtle as having my own swimming pool in my room. So if you call that subtle, then yes. I remember you are a great storyteller. And I remember you telling me this really interesting story about Kabini. I think it was something to do with the tribals of Kabini, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone would like to hear that story as well.
See, Kabini was a hotspot of wildlife and a lot of people used to go there. And it was also, you know, we had our famous Veerappans and the other poachers in that area. So poachers used to come and, you know, these innocent tribals, they used to go bribe them with alcohol and drugs and things like that, and then set fire to the forest. For the foresters lost a lot of trees and wildlife because of that. So over the years, last couple of decades, government of Karnataka strategically slowly moved the villages from inside the forest to outside. So the villages that were there was like, you know, you see in the Asterix comics, you know, there's a lot little cluster of huts. They were all huts. You know, the laid-back people, the tribals are tribals. You know, they work when they want. You know, they sleep when they want. I mean, it's just like there is no rule. So these people were taken out of them. These villages are called Hardis. And they were taken, so one fine day, they were taken out of this these forests and put in the fringes. And they were given lands. And they built the same old type of huts, but then they got contaminated with the people that were there, you know, it was tough life for them. So these Hardis were one thing that we thought we should do. We first thought of the design, the concept of the Kabini Lodge to be like the Maharaja's Lodge or the Western, the African lodges, etc. But we thought against that. He said, "We, our concept is the spirit of the land." We said we should make it look like a Hardi. So Kabini is built like a Hardi. The walls are made to look. We cannot have, because of the termites and the other things, we cannot have real mud. So it's made to look like mud walls. And the outside is painted with a mud color. And it is properly thatched with woven coconut leaves. We call them huts, but each of them are like about 2,000 square feet for two people. It's a living room and a bedroom. Most of them come with a private swimming pool or a jacuzzi, open-air jacuzzi. That's what we have in Kabini. We just have 37 of these huts there.
So, Mr. Ramapuram, you actually started a completely... When you started, you had a completely different name for the brand. It used to be called the Orange County. And now you call it the Evolve Pack Resorts. So, why this change? What is the reason or the story behind it?
From the time, about 6-7 years into naming the place, the first resort, Orange County, we named it Orange County because we grew a lot of the best oranges in the country came from Coorg. The loose jacket oranges came from Coorg. Now it's all contracted some viral disease and it's kind of disappeared. But we named it Orange County because of that. And a few years into this, we understood that, as we started traveling and seeing other properties and going for fairs, we understood that what people come for is the discerning traveler comes to see the experience the local. Yeah, go under the skin of the land to experience, to touch it, to feel it. So we thought, the design was Tudor because Coorg was called Scotland of India. We named it Orange County. In California, we have an Orange County. So people started asking us, why Orange County? By then, it had already become, in about 12 years, it had already become a known brand because of the service that we provide. So when we went into Kabini, we had a lot of stress and strain. We did not know what to do because we knew in our hearts a tribal village cannot be named Orange County. So we were toying with this idea of changing the name for a very long time. And then our brand consultants told us, sorry, you are stuck with this. You'll have to go with this till you establish your name a little further, because only then you can evolve into a new, rebrand the product. So we went for Kabini also as Orange County reluctantly. When Hampi came, it was 10 centuries old palace.
In a UNESCO heritage city.
You've been there. You just can't call it, you know. So we started this 2-year exercise of rebranding, and we came up with many, many names. And finally, we thought, you know, the concept matched perfectly when we thought of Evolve back. Evolve is a, you know, you've seen the logo. It is kind of two arrows or two birds meeting like this. So evolve is forward, back is backward. So there is always a scope of evolving yourself backward into that old original living style.
Or learning from history, or learning from, or incorporating history like you always do with all your projects. So yeah, it's a good name. How does each of your properties stand apart from the other? Like, what are the distinguishing factors?
The location that we have selected are very, very unique. It's very different from one another. And so that between Coorg and Kabini, the distance is only 120 kilometers. But people actually initially had a big problem, you know, connecting both properties. Why should we stay in one of your properties and then 120 kilometers away in another property? But over the period of time, they have learned, they have understood that when you do, you might as well do both, because these are two different worlds. So the entire concept of, though the software, that is the people are the same, the services are the same, the entire concept of the resort, the basic underlying concept of the resorts are totally different. Except for the luxury, they'll feel the luxury every turn that you take. You know that it is evolved back to such an extent that people started coming to Kabini just to be at evolved back, to experience the evolved back holiday. And many of them did not even go for safari. Otherwise, our original pricing plan was when you buy, you get your safaris as well. But then we removed the safaris and started charging it separately. And a lot of people, not more than 50% of people take the safari day. The rest of them come for the evolved back nature, you know, tribal experiences that we give there.
You know, you come across as someone who has his hands in so many different pies. So is that true? I mean, when I hear of all the things you have been doing, of all the things you are planning to do, and the things that you are planning to do even after you retire, you have it all documented, and I think you're even working on it.
See, to begin with, we are a large family, 7 brothers and 4 sisters. Now we are about 60 of us only amongst the brothers. We are all working together. The sisters, including everyone put together, will be about 110 people. So if we have a wedding now with a permission of only 100, we can't even call the the other.
So, yes, some people from the family may never speak to you again after that.
So that is our state, you know, the family background. We have a family constitution, as we have the brothers work together with the next generation. Most of them have also joined the business. Coming from an agricultural background, we have close to about 2,000 acres of plantations in 3 or 4 locations, which are managed by different people. And from there, about 27 years back, we kind of accidentally fell into this, the hospitality industry. And I would say, pure grace of God, we are here doing well, even in the time of pandemic. Now, as we grew, people were quite impressed with the different types of architecture. They started to ask us, can you build homes for us? Can you design my home, etc.? In fact, our architecture, we have in-house architecture. My brother George, the managing director of the company, is an architect. So his the 3 properties are his design. And then we thought, why not build small settlements for people in very, very remote places? So we have gone into a third business, which is connected with this remote place of Wayanad. We have 13 acres with, that's about almost an acre of land with about 7,000 square feet of beautiful villas, which are all sold out. This is tailor-made. Though we have a general prototype built for, designed for all plots. The owners, after buying land, land becomes theirs, and they can make changes according to their liking. Some people have aged parents, so they are putting lifts, elevators. Some people want, you know, on the rails they can connect the wheelchairs, you know, all those kind of personalization.
So tell me something, how long does it generally take to create a hospitality brand? You know, this is a question I'm asking on behalf of a lot of people. I'm sure they would want to know this from a person like with your experience. How long does it take to generally create a brand of one's own?
The first property in Coorg, it took 8 years to make the first rupee. 8 years. So, but the brand, I guess the brand came because from the beginning, our view, our focus was not on that profit. Focus was on the brand, the experience that the people get and the warmth and the connect. People came, you know, at one time we used to say about 45% of all our guests are repeats. They come again and again and again, and that is increasing now. So people who are coming to our properties, they want to, so we ask them. There was a person that I met the other day. He has written to me, actually, I am coming here for the 29th time. I don't know how he is keeping time. 29th time. And he had a little issue. So we were saying that the guy who was a guest who has come 29 times, he's a king. He owns the place. No, I have not gone there 29 times. The brand is used multiple times. People go several times to our different properties every year. Bangalore being Bangalore, you know, they don't want to travel too far. At the same time, they want to have their creature comforts, and they want to have, people want to be acknowledged. You know, creating brand is about all about we receiving them, acknowledging them. You know, people come so many times, are acknowledged with something very special.
Yeah, of course. Of course. These things are very important, especially in our hospitality industry. Is there anything else that you are doing? You know, basically what I want to know is that what are the new projects for Evolve Back? Will it be easier with these projects that you are envisioning, for the future? Or now have you set such high level of expectations for your own self that to over exceed what you're already going to do, is it going to be harder, or you already know what you have to do? I think you're coming up with something in Mandu as well.
Yeah. Actually, the board got the first presentation from the architects, the architects of the earth of Mandu. Mandu is an incredible project right inside the ruins. They're not ruins, actually. They are all standing. The monuments are all standing. So we are making something very, very similar to that. And, on the first and second floor also, every room will have not a jacuzzi, a swimming pool. And it is overlooking the magical forest of Mandu. Mandu is, this place is on a cliff overlooking a magical Mandu, typical Mandu forest. And that forest, they'll be so dry, and they look totally different in the summer. And in the monsoon, it comes alive, lush, green, like nowhere else. So it is overlooking this forest. It is a proper palace with lot of. I'm saying it is two notches above Hampi, because we simply can't settle for anything equal to or less.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. How are you going to over exceed? Because you must be putting so much pressure on your own self that now what? Like, you know, we've built a palace, we've done this. So I remember, when you talk about the little things you do. The day I was leaving, or I was supposed to leave Hampi, there was a surprise that the day before they told me that don't come to the dining room for breakfast. So I thought, okay, maybe it must be some in-room thing or whatever. Or then suddenly I hear this little sound outside my room or something. And when I wake up and see, there was a whole setup which was done next to the pool. And it was not just any setup. The chef came and did live cooking. He knew what exactly I wanted. Your chefs paired the breakfast with the sparkling and everything. And it was one of the most memorable places that I have ever been to. Apart from how beautiful the place is, this little thing was very sweet that, you know, this surprise which they gave me. So I really loved it. Though I wanted to go on the catamaran, that is one thing which I missed. But yeah, next time I'm going to make sure I'm going to do that. So anyway, you started in 1993.
Yes.
So in that sense, you are, you know, sort of veterans in the luxury hospitality industry. I remember that you mentioned to me that even when you started, what you were charging was at that time unheard of for any big brand also of, you know, chain hotels or anything, luxury brands. So that was a very brave decision for you to take, and like tell us about that.
Yeah, we started at very low prices. Like an AP would be in 94, AP would be something like about 1200 rupees. What happened was we were going like that, and then suddenly some little competition came. We decided, instead of being in competition, we said, let them have their space, we will have our space. We upgraded it and charged double. So it went on like that. Every time we faced something, we thought of getting out of that competition. So we don't have competition. We don't fight with people. We are very friendly with all our neighboring hotels and businesses. Absolutely no problem. But we believe that we need to be different. We are not saying that we are superior, we are inferior, we equal nothing. We are different.
You're in your own league.
Yes, we are in a separate league.
Yeah, humble hoteliers, humble.
No, we don't want to be a competition for them. At one time there was this government unit near us. They were worried that we are coming, we are opening, and we'll take away their business. So I told him, you don't have to worry. Please relax, because our price is four times yours. So we are not going to disturb yours. Ours is not going to disturb you either. So they, over a period of time, they learned we help each other. We, in whatever ways, we help each other, and you know, we can have a peaceful coexistence. And now today, from that 1200 rupees, I think our average would be like about 35,000 rupees per night.
Lovely. So, like I mentioned, that you are veterans of the luxury hospitality industry. So, you would actually be the right person to tell me this. How do you differentiate old luxury from new luxury?
I guess luxury is different for different people. You know, we were in this International Luxury Travel Mart, ILTM, it's called. It's in Cannes in France, where the fashion shows and the world movies and all happen. In the same hall, we were there. We were having a conference, and we had this, you know, great heroes of the hospitality industry around the world, luxury, pure luxury. So there were different people explaining. There was the director of the Dubai Hotel.
Jumeirah?
Yes. So he was also there. And for him, he said, you know, we are in the Middle East. For us, luxury is, you know, gold-plated everything, you know, the best marbles of the world, etc. So, you know, you feel like you have no place here in this kind of a... I mean, there was another person saying luxury is taking them to the space, outer space. That's happened, you know. This was about 6, 8, 10 years back. But today, tourism to the outer space. So this is what is happening. So then there was one guy, the last one, he said, look, for me, luxury is I have 6 log cabins overlooking the sea. They're not big. We give you clean sheets. I said, what kind of a luxury guy is sitting there? You know, we give you clean sheets. But my luxury is I make every guest of mine swim alongside a blue whale. A blue whale. And he's showing the picture. You know, all your hair stands up like that. You know, my goodness, that is pure luxury. So luxury is different for different people.
So there is no old and new. So there is no old perception of luxury vis-a-vis what is new luxury. No.
No. It's all in the mind. The people who are going for luxury, there are different clients going for different things. There are people who go for this gold-plated things who are coming and staying with us and still enjoying a luxury. Ours is not luxury in that sense. Ours is down to earth. Ours is going under the skin, touching the soul of the land. That's what I would say. You have stayed there. You know, what do you say about that?
Yeah, I mean, there was no gold-plated stuff and all, absolutely. But the way the place was built, and like when you enter only, it's like, you know, you're entering into a different world altogether. Also, the location, like, you know, Hampi is so beautiful. And, you know, you have this extremely beautiful place in Hampi, like I think one of the most beautiful places in a place like Hampi. But tell me something, how do you choose these destinations? How do you find these destinations like Mandu now that you know, and Hampi I've seen for myself. How do you find these? Like, who is this person who does the research for your destinations?
No, we have friends, you know, when you travel along with them, you meet a lot of people like Dr. Venu of Kerala Tourism, Mr. Amitabh Kant. He is the CEO of MD of Niti Aayog. I mean, these were we all used to travel together when Mr. Amitabh Kant was the secretary of tourism in Kerala. Dr. Venu was a very, very progressive people. Incredible ideas. So many people like that. You have the Dominics of the CGH Earth. One day we were having a dinner together. They said, if you have not gone to Mandu, you must go to Mandu. He said, incredible place. So we made so many trips to Mandu. We must have made some 15 trips to Mandu. We, you know, someone said, you know, we were finding it very difficult to deal with the governments in India. So we said, let us try outside. So we thought we should go to Africa. Some of us have been to Africa some 10 times looking different countries to go, where finally we landed in Botswana, where we have a private reserve. We acquired a private reserve. It's running for the last 1 year. Yes. So that's our fourth property. The fifth one is going to be Mandu. We also have a sixth one is coming in either Karwar, or we already have acquired in land in Karwar on the beach, or Bhutan, a little distance off Paro. I mean, we go a little slow because we are conceptually, we can't pay bribes. So our speed is a little slow, but I think that's the way we want, you know.
Yeah, you had told me this, that you don't pay bribes. That's why your properties take so long to come up, but you prefer it that way.
Yeah.
So I'm going to now go on to a little rapid fire section with you. Okay. So which is your most favorite city in the world and why?
Most favorite city would be, I think, Marrakesh. It is a 2,500-year-old city, walled city, exactly remaining like that. And it is really magic. They have done some beautiful things there. You know, they have horse carts there. But, you know, so many horse carts, you know, the carriages. But you won't find one speck of horse dropping anywhere. They have a contraption that collects horse droppings and it goes, you know, you don't see. And it's absolutely neat and clean. And it's a cosmopolitan city. It is simply fantastic. You get your noose coffee. It's an magical, incredible city.
And so what is this noose coffee?
Noose coffee is a special Moroccan coffee. Unlike the cappuccino, they steam boil your milk. And it the froth will stand on top, the milk in the bottom, and then they pour the decoction, you know, slowly into it. And the decoction will go into the milk, but when it settles, it comes as a, you know, under the froth, there will be a black band of decoction, then the milk.
So I was actually coming back to my next question, that what is your best food memory?
The food memory, I think in Thailand, I'm poor with names. We were, the whole family goes for a holiday, used to go for a holiday every year. Now with the pandemic, it's not possible. So we were in Thailand a few years back, and we were walking after dinner. We were walking in the town, the local town. And then we suddenly found a night market, all food. But we found that the market was closing down. Not very, very late. By about 9 o'clock, the market was closing down. So I remember going to this this lady, said, can you not close down? Can you open? So she said, for what? So I said, I want that batter fried shrimp, prawns. So she said, no, but I have closed. So I said, disappointment. So I turned away. And then probably she would have seen the 10, 15 people, the group that we were. She said, wait. She lit the thing again and boiled the oil, put the oil back, opened her whatever stuff, took the shrimp. Ah, we were, you know, it was ordinary batter fried shrimp, but the experience was out of this world. Actually, nothing to do with the luxury of that eating, but the point is you're standing on the streets. It is the joy on our face, the market that is running around. I mean, such a beautiful, I think it just jumped into my mind.
Okay, great. So three things on your bucket list.
three things on my bucket list. I want to just travel 1 year around the globe. I want to desperately go to Antarctica, but the way they are explaining it, there is a patch of a terribly choppy sea which I cannot take.
I can suggest how you can go and not feel scared. I think vodka would help, or whatever you drink, whiskey, vodka. So, I mean, if you were to have dinner with any famous person, who would it be?
Tough question. Can I have one with you?
My pleasure. Can we go to Botswana? I haven't been to that property. So quickly, I'll ask you, which is your favorite way to relax?
Oh, favorite way to relax? I guess I'll go for some spiritual program. Sit there and enjoy the music, you know, participate in that worship. That's the only thing actually relaxes me.
Really? I mean, for the spiritual trip, nothing else but only the music you'll go for?
No. There'll be some talks and the other things, but the music is, you know, amazing, soothing.
Yeah,
it settles you down. Yeah.
That's true. So that is pretty much it all. And I can keep talking and listening to you forever. You know, really, it's always so interesting. And I just get so carried away while talking to you that I just don't want the chat to end. That's the truth. It was so wonderful having you on my show today, Mr. Ramapuram. Thank you so much for joining in.
Thank you very much, Rinku.